The end game for financial reform has begun.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. This week, a committee of senators and House members get together and start melding their financial regulatory overhauls into one bill that the president could sign into law by the 4th of July. But as Marketplace's John Dimsdale tells us now, oh, there's still some very hard bargaining ahead.
Banks are lobbying to protect their bottom lines. One reform would cap the fees banks can charge retailers for each swipe of a credit card. Another requires banks to spin off their derivatives trading. Plus, there's a ban on banks trading for themselves in the stock market. Banks say the profits lost will hurt lending. But former FDIC Chairman William Isaac, the author of a book on the financial crisis called Senseless Panic, doesn't think so.
It is going to hit the earnings of some of the very largest banks to some degree. I don't think it's pain they can't find a way to deal with.
Banks also face a tax to pay for the unwinding of failing institutions. David Nason with Promontory Financial asks, why hit up banks for something that may not be needed?
If it's truly supposed to be extraordinary relief, it seems odd that you would want to fund that in advance, because how could you predict what would be provided?
He says better to borrow the money to dismantle a sick bank and then require healthy banks to pay back the loan. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
In the Bronx, New York today, there's an unusual ribbon cutting. Local politicians will gather to unveil an electric truck, the first of its kind in New York City. From WNYC in New York, Andrea Bernstein has the story.
Hunts Point in the Bronx is a peninsula home to lots of wholesalers. Ed Taylor owns Down East Seafood.
It's a food hub. We feed the city food here. There's the vegetable market here, the fish market, the meat market, and there's a lot of trucks.
16,000 a day. The asthma rate is also high, seven times the national average. So when Congressman Jose Serrano called Taylor and said he could get a grant for a zero-emissions truck, Taylor jumped.
We call her Big Green. We plug her in.
An electric truck costs over $200,000, about four times what a regular truck costs. Sounds expensive, but if gas runs what it did two summers ago, it pays for itself. Taylor says he has another motivation, independence from oil. In the wake of the BP oil spill, that has Congress's attention, too. Serrano says he'll push for funding for thousands of such trucks nationwide. In New York, I'm Andrea Bernstein for Marketplace.
That report is part of the Transportation Nation Public Radio Reporting Project. For more on that, go to marketplace.org. And speaking of trucks, if you want a hint about the economic recovery, follow that pickup. Pickup trucks are an economic indicator. When times are good, contractors buy more of them to carry landscaping tools and lumber for building houses. Weekend haulers like them as well, and lately, pickup sales have started shifting into a higher gear. Americans bought 151,000 pickups last month, 19% more than a year ago. Sales of full-size pickups, which are especially popular with the contractors and the builders, that grew even faster. Now let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher around the world this morning following last week's rise on Wall Street. It was the first winning week for the Dow Industrials in a month. On Friday, the Dow rose 39 points, closed at 10,211, and that was a gain of almost 3% for the week. This morning, stocks are higher by about 1% in both Europe and Asia. And the New York Times reports that a team of U.S. geologists and Pentagon officials have discovered vast mineral wealth in Afghanistan. Officials say it could be enough to turn that country into one of the world's most lucrative mining centers.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com. American Public Media presents The Great Textbook War, an American Radio Works documentary supported by the Batten Institute at the University of Virginia's Darden School of Business. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
Now it's time for today's Marketplace Globalist Quiz. And our topic is coal, the biggest source of electricity in this country. Joining us is our global quiz master, Stefan Richter. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Bill. Are you ready for today's quiz?
I am. Hit me.
So my question for you today is this. Which country is the most dependent on coal? China, Poland, India, South Africa?
My mind goes to China and India, and I got to think it's China.
They are, of course, the world's leading suspect on everything, but actually no, in this case. They come in number two. 70% of the entire primary energy consumption in China is based on coal, so that's a lot.
So 70% for China, and there's one of those countries that's more dependent?
Yes, and it's either Poland or India or South Africa.
Well, I struck out with economic powerhouses. How about if I say South Africa?
Bingo!
Ah.
The World Cup of soccer is upon us, and South Africa is the host. Over three-quarters, 77.7% of their entire energy consumption is coal-based.
So how does U.S. coal consumption compare to the rest of the world?
So the world average is just under 30%, and the United States is under 25%. So in a global context, we're doing pretty well, better than Germany, Japan, and other countries that are often considered to be much more environmentally clean. So not all the news on coal is bad, even though we still all need to clean up our job on that front because it still creates a lot of soot and mess.
Thank you for mining all those nuggets of information, Stefan.
Good to talk with you today.
Stefan Richter is publisher and editor-in-chief of TheGlobalist.com, the daily online magazine on the global economy, politics, and culture. And finally, the comic strip Annie is disappearing from newspapers. Tribune Media Services, which owns the license to The Little Orphan, says it is only pulling the print version of the strip. Yes, The Sun will continue to come out, but for Annie, it will shine in new media channels. Oh, Annie has outlasted thugs, poverty, orphanages. She can definitely survive transformational media realignments. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.